From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 25th day of April 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker at CGB Enterprises. He's in Mandeville, Louisiana. We'll take a look at the cash grain market with Matt Bennett from TGM out of Windsor, Illinois, and hear all about Food and Love and Lisa Brault's final installment. That's the third one. In my backyard. That all happens during this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world, and you are one of our partners. Please do make a pledge of financial support at 217-244-9455 if you can, or just hit contribute on our webpage at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Well, in Chicago on a Thursday afternoon, futures finished the day higher. The nice May contract at 7.01 1/4 at the soft red. A settlement price up 9.5 cents. July at 7.03 3/4 was 11.75 higher for the harvest month. And the September soft red in Chicago at 7.11 3/4 up 12 cents. The hard red in Kansas City finished the harvest July at 7.61 1/2, 21.5 cents higher. Corn futures were higher as well. Back in Chicago, the May contract 6.45 1/4, the lead option up 5 3/4, July at 6.24 1/2, a settlement price up 6 1/4, and September corn at $5.50 1/2, up 3 3/4. December futures there 5.31 1/4, 3 1/4 higher. The March contract at $5.42 1/4, up 3 1/4 as well. May beans at 4.23 1/2, a settlement price up 19.5 cents. July at 13.72 2/4, up 27. August, $13.08 3/4, 23 1/4 higher. September soybeans, $12.42 3/4, up 16 3/4. And the November contract at $12.06 1/4, up 12.5 cents. January futures at $12.13 3/4 for next year, up a 12 as well. Bean May, soybean meal that is, 4.14.30, up 8.40. Bean oil at 49.77. 59 cents higher. Live cattle futures finished the nearby June contract at $122.90 per 100 pounds, 82.5 cents higher. The May feeders at $142.20, up $1.10. And June lean hogs today, $91.82.5, up 82.5 cents on this Thursday afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, June contract, $93.28 a barrel, up $1.85. The RBOB, or wholesale price of gasoline, at $2.80 6/10 of a cent. That's up 5 8/10 of a cent from yesterday. And the ethanol trading at $2.45 4/10, a penny and 9/10 higher. The difference between those two now at 35 2/10 of a cent. The spread is 4 cents wider than it was yesterday. Natural gas at $4.16 3/10, 3/10 of a cent higher. Heating oil or diesel fuel up 6 cents at $2.90 1/10. And the gold futures on the afternoon, $38.30 higher at $1,461.80. The U.S. dollar trading 82.75 is down 0.29 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. We're calling for mostly sunny skies and a high of 54 degrees. A west wind at about 16 miles an hour, gusting all the way to 24. And then tonight, mostly clear. A low of 35 degrees on a northwest wind at 5 to 10. Tomorrow, mostly sunny skies, a high near 63. On a south wind, and Friday evening, mostly cloudy and a low of 43. South winds will continue at 6 to 11 miles an hour. Saturday, partly sunny and 66 degrees. Saturday night, mostly cloudy and 46. On Sunday, mostly sunny, a high near 70 degrees. Sunday night, partly cloudy and 50. On Monday, here we go, a nice day. Mostly sunny, a high of 74 to start the work week. Partly cloudy and 54 Monday night. Sunny on Tuesday and 75 Tuesday night. A low of 55 degrees. Hey, the chance of showers comes back in on Wednesday, and that'll be a mostly cloudy evening at 70 degrees. You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report. It does to come to you from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural market reports on WILL are made possible with support from Busey. Small business is the next big business, so Busey offers solutions to fit growing business needs, from customizable lending options to succession planning. Busey, your dream, our promise.
This is the Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is the 25th day of April. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason, joined in studio today by the Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media, Dave Dickey. He's here to help us talk a bit about something really kind of close to our hearts. It's fundraising, frankly, and we want you to dial in with us a little bit of support for the agricultural programming that comes to you from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. You can do that pretty quickly and easily. The number to call is 217-244-9455. Dave, you and I talked about the two of us, as a partnership between the radio station and the College of ACES, the University of Illinois Extension offices here on the Urbana-Champaign campus. But we have a whole bunch of other partners that are up and down the line, from our listeners to the satellite feed and other radio stations.
That's exactly right. In fact, we have a whole network affiliate of people that help to support us. And there are costs associated with all of that. A moment ago, Todd was reading the numbers from the settlements off the screen over there. We use a piece of software that costs $4,700 a year. That's the annual subscription fee to the service we use. It has live quotes on it. We're probably one of the only radio stations in the whole state of Illinois, if not across the Midwest, that actually gives live quotes in each time that we do updates. But there is that price tag, $4,700. And why I bring that number up is that $4,700 just so happens to be the exact number of a challenge that we have going on right now.
Hey, that challenge was $3,700 yesterday. What happened?
Well, some amazing things happened overnight, and we had someone step forward and said, you know, we really want to help you out, and we want to make that challenge. We'll put another $1,000 in the pot to see if we can entice another 72 people. That's where we are right now. That's what we need right now to make the challenge, to step forward and say, yes, agriculture programming is of benefit to me. And so that's where it sits right now. And we have about, a couple of days to get that done. And if we can get a little wave this afternoon, if 20 people were to step forward this afternoon and say, yes, I support the agricultural service, I believe in it, here is a gift of support. Number to call is 217-244-9455, by the way, and say, yes, put me down for that. We will make huge headway and really have a shot at making that challenge tomorrow. So today is really an important day for us to set the table for those 78 people that have already given in support of our agricultural service throughout the week thus far. 217-244-9455 is the number to call.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, is the Director of Agricultural Programming. We'll try to keep you up to date on how many people have called in, but now might be a good time to do that. Or if you listen online, please do give. Everybody counts in this process. 217-244-9455. WillPledge.org. If you're on WillAg.org, there's a contribute button up at the top of the page. You'll see my smiling face and a video down at the bottom of the page. And there's a link under that as a little video as well. However you do it, it's important that you do it today.
Leonard Seed Service supports agricultural programming on WILL as an additional service to its customers. Leonard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
Let's take the time now to talk about the agricultural futures on this Thursday afternoon. From CGB Enterprises out of Mandeville, Louisiana, we're joined by Dan Zwicker. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Hi, Todd.
Hey, you got here on an up day for a Thursday. What moved the market higher?
Well, several things. It was kind of a mixed news day. I mean, there was a lot of bearish news on the wires, and then there was some generally positive news on the wire, and I think today was one of those days that the market just decided to kind of focus on the positives in the marketplace. It was, especially the new crop months, were especially oversold, and I think the driving force now, I think, as we approach May 1, is little if any planting has been accomplished this week. National corn planting's probably going to be underneath 10% on Monday afternoon, and all of a sudden it's May 1. And the weather forecasts have dried out a little bit, but there's still a couple frontal systems expected to kind of march across the Corn Belt next week, and depending upon what, if they get wetter or drier, probably Monday morning is going to be the key. But a lot of short covering in the market. The technicals have started to kind of improve. Yesterday, Dease Corn had a reversal to the upside and had nice follow-through here today. You can kind of see the bean market having a nice up day despite having a negative export sales week. Cash supplies of soybeans are very, very hard to find. Processors are screaming for soybeans to crush, and we're going into a delivery period where little, if any, deliveries are expected to show up in either corn or soybean. So all in all, it was just a pretty nice day to the upside, given a lot of the negative news that we've heard over the past week.
So the short supply that we have from last year for both corn and soybeans, maybe soybeans in particular, according to the USDA's latest WASD numbers, would put us in a position, especially with the late planting season, as it starts for corn, and that'll probably push soybean planting back some, maybe not as much as corn, create a gap time frame somewhere in August, I would suspect. Will the basis be able to help cover part of that, and how much work will it do to do so? And then what happens to new crop prices in the process?
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, this corn planting delays, or at least it's not Panic City yet, but it could be turned into Panic City if we don't have much planted by May 10th. And then we've got planting delays going on in the spring wheat area. That all indicates that you could have a big shift to soybean acres. I mean, that's a big fear. And then there's even talk of the freeze damage of the hard red winter wheat crop. We could see maybe up to 25% wheat acreage abandonment out west. Then that would maybe go into soybeans. So there's, but the thing of it is, and I've always, even though the trade talks about increased bean acres due to delayed corn plantings and spring wheat plantings, but like I tell everybody, if you're not planting corn, you're not planting soybeans either. So what you're getting into is, and is kind of what you mentioned, is we're going to have a delayed start to the growing season. That is going to push harvest maybe deeper into the fall months rather than the late summer months. And with our generally tight supplies of corn and soybeans, that could be very strong to the basis levels as you get into that August time frame to kind of keep the pipeline somewhat full. So it could be an interesting year, even after USDA's surprise find of 400 million bushels of corn and a few million bushels of soybeans.
Just want to clarify things very quickly that it may be, and you can tell me because I don't know, that all the heavy work will be done at that August time frame in the cash basis, but might not particularly show up in November futures for soybeans?
Well, I think it would show up in November futures also, because there'll be, we are getting a decent book of new crop soybean sales on the book, and now some of the China business on old crop will probably be rolled forward. We're going to see some cancellations, probably in old crop, just like what we did here today. We just really can't afford to sell any more old crop beans for the most part. So they'll probably be rolled forward. So that'll show up in the November bean contract. I mean, it'll be August, September contract's kind of an odd month. But, yeah, but you're going to postpone harvest. Who knows how far you postpone harvest, but that'll depend upon the summer. But it is shaping up that we're going to have a later than normal planting. It may not be real late. We just don't know. That's why I think next week's weather forecasts are probably very critical when we come in here Monday morning.
Many fear that the soybean crop coming out of South America, which has been delayed on transportation problems more than anything else, will cause a glut later in the season of beans coming on the marketplace than what we're used to seeing?
Well, the potential is definitely there. We do have a large South American crop, and that would be the big fear. And part of the strength that we're seeing in bean prices right now is Argentina farmers are kind of holding beans off of the market as an inflation hedge because Argentina peso is falling apart. So some of this bullishness that we're seeing up front could eventually be super bearish as we go down the road. That's been one of my fears is that as if we have a big crop, and of course we haven't got it planted yet, but if we would have a big crop, there would be a glut of soybeans on the world market all at one time, because South America does have a large enough supply to really stay in the export market well into our harvest and beyond. So that's a big concern.
One final question for you. On Zwicker Farms in the northwestern part of Illinois, if you were to have acres that were possible to switch still from one crop to the other, meaning you probably haven't put any anhydrous ammonia on them, and we'll just say that that is the case, whether it is or not, which would be your druthers, corn or soybeans?
Oh, I'd stay with corn for at least another 3 weeks anyway.
All right. Thanks so much, Dan.
Okay, thank you.
Dan Zwicker is with CGB Enterprises out of Mandeville, Louisiana. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens each and every Thursday afternoon. We thank Dan for his time. He volunteers that just as everybody does that you hear for the most part on our air. And we do appreciate all the kinds of things that they do to keep us up and running. And we appreciate what you do to help us keep up and running as well. Dave Dickey is here now. He has an update. I think, Dave, probably a couple of folks have called in since we started the show.
Indeed, that is. We're counting it down. 18 to go to keep on track this afternoon as we're counting it down on the Ag Fund Challenge, $4,700 at stake when we hear from a total of 150 people during this spring pledge period. We're down to needing 70, just 70 left. And there are fine people that we want to thank along the way. Heather is alongside. Heather Miller.
Yes, I am, and I'm here to offer some encouraging words. I got to say, I don't know how you guys come back year after year and wade through all the information that you do. I was at the All Day Outlook in March, and
yes,
I was absolutely impressed with the size of the crowd, the information offered, all of this just really, really helpful information there for you as part of your support from WILL Ag Services. And if you feel like the information you receive here from WILL is worth your time and worth your effort, we hope you'll support our efforts on your behalf with a pledge today.
217-244-9455, the number to call. We want to thank a few of our fine business partners for contributing to the Ag Fund Challenge, including Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, AgriGold Seeds, and the Stuart Peterson Branch Office of Champaign. Thank you to all to help put that $4,700 kitty together. We do it one phone call at a time, one contribution at a time. Yours truly does make a difference to the quality of the service that you receive 365 days throughout the year. All the agricultural things that you get. Heather mentioned the all-day Ag Outlook meeting, but of course there's an Ag Eats newsletter if you're a subscriber to that. There are podcasts, MP3 downloadable files. There's a phone service. Of course, there's the flagship show Commodity Week coming to you 52 times a year. All made possible because of your generosity. We would not be able to do this without you. You are responsible for 40% of every dollar that we get in order to make the service go. So why don't you give us a call at 217-244-9455.
That's right, 217-244-9455. If you listen online, you're not off the hook. You're not off the hook, call in. You know what, Dave and I haven't talked too much this time of year yet about what we think a good goal level is. We like the $120 level. Less is perfectly fine. More is fantastic. Whatever you do, we do appreciate it. 217-244-9455. Online at willpledge.org. Or if you're just used to going to willag.org, that one's simple. Up at the top of the page, hit contribute now. You'll see my face at the bottom of the page. There's a link underneath me in that video as well. But the important thing is that you donate right now. I kind of think it's just the right thing to do. On the phone line, speaking of the right thing to do, is Matt Bennett, and we should talk to him about the cash grain market. He's at TGM in Windsor, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Matt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, tell me about the marketplace there and who's hunting down soybeans or corn.
Well, I think as far as hunting down one or the other, people are hunting down beans a little more than they are corn right now. We've seen our basis maybe soften up just a little bit here on the corn, but beans has been fairly strong still, and I think there's still people out there that are hunting beans enough that they're willing to post, you know, actually bid a little over their posted bid here and there. So we're just kind of seeing more of the bean push than we are corn.
And your expectations over the next week or so about whether you'll be able to get into the field?
Well, you know, if we don't get any more rain at all and we can get some heat, I would say, you know, it's going to take 6 to 7 days, depending on how much rain you got. But you get south of us very far, and some of those guys got 2.5 inches this last round. So, you know, it's still awfully wet around in different areas.
Yeah. What does it mean to you as a producer?
Well, I think one of the obvious things is, you know, we get a little bit later start, and we're a little bit worried about pollinating during the hotter time period, and then, you know, maybe not picking half of our corn in the month of August, you know. So a lot of guys really actually kind of enjoy doing that. It gives them a chance to do a lot of field work in the fall and, you know, get things done a little quicker. But those are the main things, I think, that it tells us.
And since the fall of last year, you have been an advocate for this year's crop, of pricing it out. Are you still in that boat?
You know, you get very far under the insurance price in here, and I get a little more reluctant, especially for guys that have made some sales. What I would be talking to them about would be maybe uninsured bushels. I mean, right now we're kind of at a critical time. If we go ahead and come in with a wet forecast over the weekend, you know, by all means, this market could turn around and head north pretty quickly. How far it's going to go, I think, is probably going to be mitigated quite a bit as compared to last year. But regardless, we could go back on up. So I'm not going to get too excited about it right in here until I figure out whether we're going to get going in the field or not.
And what are your bids for the day?
$6.50 on cash corn, $5.10 for fall, $14.45 for cash beans, $11.90 for fall.
Hey, thanks so much.
Yep, thanks, Todd.
That's Matt Bennett. He's with TGM in Windsor, Illinois. This is the Closing Market Report.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason, taking time during this half-hour program to ask you to do something really important for us. That is to dial in your pledge of financial support if you have pledged already this year. We sure would like it if you would pledge again, even if it's just a little bit, even if, you know, $10, $20, $30. That's perfectly fine if you're already in, because we're trying to put 150 folks on a list that will help us put $4,700 back in the kitty, and we'll have business partners that are helping out with that process, Dave Dickey.
Yes, that is indeed true, including Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana, the Andersons, Champaign, Illinois, and the folk you just spoke with out of Total Grade Marking, Matt Bennett, is also in that pool.
Yeah, and a whole bunch of other folks, too, are in that pool. Almost all the folks that you hear, a lot of them that you hear on the air with us, have joined in and said, you know, we're gonna help out. They put in $3,700, and then yesterday we had another person call up and say, I'll put in another $1,000. I'll put in another $1,000 if you can hear from 150 over the week.
And Todd Gleason's could put in money. Oh. did I just cut out?
Yeah, wait. I didn't hear. Where'd that go? All right. Anyway, it matters not. 217-244-9455 is the number to call. Do that right now. Make your pledge of financial support for the agricultural programming that comes to you from Illinois Public Media. It means a great deal to us. We hope it means a great deal to you as well. You can do it online at willag.org or 217-244-9455.
Support comes from the Black Dog Smoke and Ale House, serving barbecue beef brisket, pork shoulder, ribs, chicken, and more. Slow cooked over a wood-fired smoker. Open Sunday through Thursday, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m., and Friday and Saturday, 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. The Black Dog, 201 North Broadway in downtown Urbana.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Again, Peter Levitt not available this afternoon. Instead, we'll hear from Lisa Brault. She has her final installment of In My Backyard, all about love and food.
In this third and final episode of our series about food and love, Wes Jarrell and Leslie Cooperband have spent a lot of time at farmers markets in the area, including Urbana's, selling their goat cheeses and other handmade goat's milk products. But it's not where they met. No, their initial meeting at an Agronomy Society conference in Las Vegas was actually quite a dirty affair.
We liked each other over soil chemistry and in particular soil phosphorus.
They're both soil scientists, you see. Wes and Leslie moved to Urbana-Champaign in 2003 so Wes could take over a department head job at the College of Natural Resources and Environmental Sciences at the University of Illinois. They wanted a little house on a little bit of land that was reasonably close to town. When friends found the right place, Wes and Leslie took it. But goats were not part of the plan, yet.
At the time we found the land and were moving down here, we did not think about goats at all. We came for a peach. I wanted to plant a peach orchard. This was the upper northern edge of where you dare plant peaches. But I grew up eating fresh peaches out of the orchard. I wanted to do it the same on my place, and also I wanted to introduce other people to what it feels like to taste a peach off a tree.
Well, okay, they sort of were.
I definitely wanted to have fruit, but I was very interested in goat cheese. I loved goat cheese, and in particular, French-style goat cheeses that we had come to love from a goat cheese producer in Madison. So it was my idea to get a few goats and learn how to make cheese.
In just 10 years, some fruit trees, a few goats, and a yearning to learn how to make cheese has turned into something else altogether. It's a true multi-pronged food enterprise.
Right now, we are planning to milk 70 or more goats this year. We also bring in sheep milk from a herd of 50 or 60 sheep in Arthur. We make cheese with that in the order of 18,000 pounds of handmade artisan cheese on an average year. We also have an acre and a half or so of fruit trees. And, of course, we do local foods, slow foods dinners on the farm. We have a 14-dinner program during the year, as well as some special events at the farm. So in a sense, we're a catering restaurant, but very much focused on getting people onto the farm to find out the source of their food and to open up their minds about the link between the land and the food.
It was clear during the interview that the intensity of the partnership, with its many big decisions, some important successes and relatively few epic failures, the early mornings with goats and at farmers markets, the whirlwind preparations that they and their staff go through for the farm dinners, the commitment to sustainability and education, have done nothing to change the fact that they adore each other. It's obvious they do. Wes had injured his Achilles tendon a couple of weeks before while pushing a truck out of the mud, and Leslie picked up the slack while making sure he had everything he needed, much the same way he did when she injured her back a few years ago. These are two committed people to each other, to their farm's mission, and to the future. For In My Backyard, this is Lisa Braltz.
Our thanks go to Lisa Braltz and Dave Dickey for putting together In My Backyard. By the way, our thanks go to you, too, if you pledged already your financial support to willag.org. If not, there's still plenty of time. Dial in at 217-244-9455. I'm Todd Gleason.